Hiya there, everyone, and welcome to our watch night service. It's 11:15 on New Year's Eve. We're going to see the new year in, and we're going to do it thanking the Lord, praising him, blessing him, and praying to him and singing to him. It's going to be a good time. We've got a few things lined up for us now in the next 45 minutes or so. I'm going to start by reading from the Psalms. I'll very quickly pray before we sing together, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then Howell Swan, one of our brothers, has been kind enough to give us a reflection then on the year that's been. It's been quite a year, so that's quite the task for him to undertake. After that, we've got Emily Cross, one of our young people, is kindly going to pray for us before we sing again. And then I'm going to bring us a word from the scriptures before we sing to close. So that's where we're going this evening, and may God bless it to us. So let me do that now. I'll just read a psalm. And then we will pray. These words come from Psalm 145 that we prayed through yesterday. It says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Let's pray together now. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us now to come together and to worship you, to thank you for how good you have been to us over the last year. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to look to you again, all over again this evening, that as we enter now this new year that you are kindly giving to us, that we can fix our eyes again upon our Saviour, from whom all our blessings come and in whom we have all that we have. We thank you, Lord, for the confidence that we have of looking to you, knowing that you are good to all. Father, we pray that you should be with us now, especially with those of us who are sad and disappointed and are lonely, missing family, unable to gather with them as we wish over holiday periods. We ask you to be with those who are ill. Lord, we remember Roy Lee and his family, Lord. He's so unwell at the moment in the hospital. Lord, be near him. Be near those, Lord, who are isolated and haven't seen people for a while. Be with those who have missed their families, who couldn't be with them on Christmas and can't be with them now on New Year's Eve. Lord, bring us all together, bind us together in the love of the Holy Spirit. Fix our eyes together on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we should all be one in him, surrounding the throne of glory even now, with our hearts as one in praise, our prayers as one in thanks. And Lord, that everything should be done to the honour and glory of the Lord Jesus, who does all things well. Amen.
I want us to just consider for a moment Ecclesiastes 7, verses 13 and 14. It begins, "Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the days of prosperity, be joyful. And in the days of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other." So clearly it's a good thing for us to pause and take stock at this time of year. So I've been given the topic of reflecting on the year, and I wonder what comes to your mind as you look back at 2020. I think there'll be some common threads, and yet some different thoughts may come to each one of us. And clearly it's been a year of upheaval and change and much suffering for a lot of folk. Perhaps you've experienced illness or bereavement, separation from your family and friends, particularly across the generations, maybe work pressures. But for others of you, you've had furlough and you've had time on your hands to spend time with the family and considering options. Maybe some of you faced redundancy, working from home, the joy of homeschooling, teaching fractions to reluctant seven-year-olds, maybe students have returned home or maybe been confined to their halls. Perhaps you've been shielding, perhaps you've been able to get out. Perhaps you've been looking after someone needy or someone's been looking after you. So much more. And I haven't even mentioned Brexit. But perhaps it's also been a very serious time for us to consider our priorities. And if I asked you, what spiritual lessons have we learned? Would what we've just said have been your first thoughts? Yet surely these should be our first thoughts. These should be the things that we focus on. Have we seen the need during this year that we have to be totally dependent on God? How often we rely on our own resources? We've seen those largely stripped away. How many of us rely on our own intelligence, our own way of sorting things out, despite maybe having a veneer of spiritual spirituality, haven't we been driven back to God's word and simply to prayer? If we haven't, we should have been. I wonder how we look back on 2020. We see it as a time of trial, a time of testing. Perhaps you've seen it as a time of refining. There are some who see God's hand strongly at work in the church and in nations, drawing us back to himself in the same way that the Israelites suffered and maybe that they were drawn into exile, but ultimately then they were drawn back to God and seeing their rebellion and their sin in the same way that a father would discipline his son. But the second important thing that we should recognize, I think, this year has been God's very real protection and provision for us as a fellowship. When we think of the gospel witness and preach, that's been maintained and even extended. The pulpits have been filled with many, many faithful men, including during the pastor's absence. Zoom meetings and online services became that the new normal, as people like to say. Yet this took the word not only into our homes, but the homes of maybe those who would not normally attend a Christian church and not normally hear a gospel message. What about families singing hymns at home, bearing witness even to their neighbours? We've been able to have daily thoughts, providing encouraging and challenging words to ourselves, and again, not maybe to regular listeners. These have been evangelistic opportunities to take the gospel message out to people who are not Christians and are not saved. We've been also sharing other maybe online messages that we've heard with each other. The word has been remarkably spread. We should praise God for that. And we should pray that the word would not return void. And we're grateful people have been coordinating that. And various WhatsApp groups have been at work providing extra care. Even the 122 has distributed meals and care to those in the needy, surely building bridges and extending the gospel. Of course, all these things, they're only possible by God's enabling grace and power. And above all these things in this year's upheaval and change, we do well to remember we have a sovereign God. This is a God that has controlled all these things. And Isaiah 40, verse 19, as I close, says, "To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness compares with him? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness." We know that God causes things to happen, allows things to happen. It's all in his will. And we know also that all things that happen to a Christian, they happen for good. We know that from Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for those that love God. What a great comfort to us. So perhaps as we leave 2020, we should be looking back with thankfulness, not desiring for things in 2021 to return to how they were. May we desire to be more Christ-like and more bold in sharing our faith. Certainly, I think we should say we can praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. And now Emily will be leading us in prayer.
Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much that we're able to meet here today, Lord, as a church and as just people around the nation, Lord. I thank you that we can come and we can worship you, Lord. I pray that you'll be with us in this coming year, Lord. I pray that you'll look after us as a church, Lord. I thank you that we were able to practice fellowship, Lord, and we were able to help one another in this troubling time, Lord. And I thank you for your strength in that, Lord. I thank you that, as Hal said, all things work together for good to those that love you, Lord. I pray, Lord, as this year has been hard for some, Lord, it's been quite lonely for some. Some are grieving, Lord, and I just pray that you will just comfort them, Lord, that you will give them your strength and you'll hold them in your hands. Lord, you are our friend, Lord, as well as our Father, and I just pray that you'll really be with them, Lord, be with all those that are struggling, I pray. Lord, you love us so much, and I thank you so much for that. Lord, your love is so unconditional, Lord. We don't deserve your love. We're sinners, Lord. We sin daily. And I just thank you, Lord, that there's nothing we can do that can make you love us less. I thank you so much for that. I pray that more will realise, Lord, that you're always there for them. You're always there. Whenever they come to you to pray to you, Lord, that you're always there. You're always listening. So, Lord, as people look for hope this coming year, Lord, I just pray that they will find that in you, Lord, in a saviour that loves unconditionally. I pray for those that are working hard in the NHS, Lord, to help those that are ill, especially at this time. And I just pray that you'll give them the strength that they need, Lord, as it's a very hard time for them. I pray that you'll just comfort them and give them protection, Lord, too. And also in this coming year, Lord, I just pray that we'll learn to trust you more, Lord, that we'll realise that our plans were never ours to make, Lord, they were yours. And Lord, that you have a reason for everything. And so I pray as we go into the new year that we'll just trust you more and more and understand that, Lord, your plan is so perfect and so wonderful beyond anything we could ever imagine. So I pray that we'll really trust in that this coming year. Lord, I also pray for Hal now as he preaches, Lord. I pray that you'll give him the words to say, Lord, and that we'll all be encouraged by it. In your name I pray. Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles then to Psalms, the Psalms, and to Psalm number 116. 116. That's where we're going this evening. Just a few words now about Psalm 116 to take us into the new year. So let me read that psalm to you. Psalm 116 from verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, and my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Amen. Now may God bless the reading of this to us. Now we're in the middle of a watch night service now, aren't we? And it's a great opportunity now to give thanks to our Father in heaven for how good he has been to us in 2020, and to look forward now to being with him and to going into 2021 with him and with his blessing. And so Psalm 116 is a good psalm to do that, to consider how good God has been to us now in 2020, and consider how it is that we are to respond to that. How are we to press on now into 2021 as a church and as individuals, as believers? How is it that we're supposed to respond to his goodness in the year that's gone and to press on with him now into next year? To start then, let me ask you a question. How did you feel when you first realized that the new coronavirus wasn't going to stay in China, and it wasn't even going to stay in London, but it was coming to Wales and it was coming for you? and for your family and for your church. Do you remember what that was like when that sort of realization set in? I was really anxious, were you? Thinking about our families at that time, it was frightening, wasn't it? There was so much to be scared of. We thought, what about me? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to my family? What will happen to my kids? What will happen to my church? Have I already seen my grandparents for the last time? And those sorts of thoughts and fears were in our minds. That's where we were then, and that's where the psalmist was when he wrote this. He said, the pains of death surrounded me, the pangs of Sheol, of the grave or of hell, laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. It was very real time, that wasn't it? So what do you do? What did you do? Do you remember? We were driven to pray like never before, weren't we? All individually, as well as a church. The fear that came in at the beginning of this year that we're just coming to the end of now, it drove us to our knees like never before. We read there in verse 4, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. It was so present, wasn't it? We cried out, save me. Save my family. Look after my children. Protect my church. Look after my spouse. Suddenly, we felt so powerless. We couldn't look after ourselves. We couldn't protect our loved ones. And so we asked our Father in heaven for mercy. We prayed to our God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my loved ones. At that time, back at the end of the last winter and the beginning of spring, when we were crying out with those prayers in the middle of great anxiety, how much did our Father owe us at that point? What did we deserve to have from our God? Nothing at all. Not an ounce. He could have just left us. Left us to be prey, victims of the fear that we were feeling and of the virus that we feared. He could have just left us. He didn't have to listen to us at all, let alone answer. And yet he did. He did, didn't he? Go on, verse 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Just think about that for a moment. While the Lord Jesus was running this world that he made, making sure that all the things that he had created were ticking over nicely, that the bees found the right flowers, that the trees continued to grow, that the sea didn't cross that line on the beach, that the mountains stayed where they were and weren't moving, that the stars stayed where they were, that the planets remained in the skies and the sun kept shining, while he made sure that the nations were doing all of the things that he had planned for them to do. While he was doing all of that, and at the same time was bringing nations down to their knees, shaking the whole globe, waking up the kingdoms of this earth to realize their fragility, he stopped. And he heard you. He heard you praying in your room in the middle of the night, full of fear. He heard me. While we were frightened and sleepless, and while the Lord Jesus was bringing his cosmic scales, his global scale plans to pass, he heard us and he answered because of how kind he is. We've already mentioned it, and you can't help but mention it, you know, this virus and the impact that it's had on us and our lives and our country this year. What is it that you've lost now this year? What is it that you've lost? Because we have lost things. We could make a little list, couldn't we, of all the things that we've lost. Some of us are bereaved. We've lost family members. We've lost friends. Many of us have lost any sort of semblance of social confidence that we once had. Or we've lost touch with friends. People have lost their incomes. Some people have missed major family events. They've missed weddings. They've missed funerals. And those losses, they are real. And we do mourn them, and mourn them we should. We do speak to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, about them and bear that burden to him. But consider this question. What is it that you haven't lost? Everyone watching this video right now is alive. Breath in your lungs and hearts beating in your chests. Our liberty has been preserved with our lives. Our health has been preserved. If we haven't caught coronavirus, have you caught anything else? With all the sanitation that's going on now, we haven't got as much as a sniffle, have we? Our church has been preserved. It's even open. We get to gather and worship together. The shops are open and fully stocked. There's even toilet roll there. Not even panic buying could empty it completely. There's petrol in our cars, there's food in our fridges, there's water in our taps, and our families are still here. We've even got to meet with them over Christmas. Our homes are still here and the roof is still on them. And when we leave our homes, there's still law and order in the streets and peace. There's so much that we have retained that we feared losing. There's so much that we have not lost. Look at verses 5-7. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Things could have been so much worse, but the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Yes, the Lord is gracious, absolutely merciful through and through. He has dealt bountifully with us. For all of our losses, and they are real losses, this year, just like every year, our Father in heaven has given us so much more than we have lost. He's given so much more than he has taken. And we've been abundantly provided for as a church, as Joel already mentioned in his reflection. We've been provided for individually and as families, even while the whole world has been brought to its knees. Seriously, what do we lack? What are we lacking? Because our Father in heaven is gracious and generous, and he knows no bounds in how kind he's been. You know, some people, and you'll know them, we all have them in our lives, you ask them for a fiver, and you might get a fiver. And if you get a fiver, they expect it back eventually. We all have people like that in our lives. Maybe you're one of those people. But, you know, our Father in heaven, he's not like that. We ask him for something, and he gives us so much more. My mom used to tell me when I was a child, she'd explain it to me like this. We bring to God our teaspoons of thanks and praise, and he returns shovels of blessings upon us. That's how it stuck in my mind, how gracious and generous he is. We asked him to spare our lives, didn't we? Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. And he spared us our homes, our families, our churches, our jobs. He spared us so much. Look there at verses 7-9. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you, my soul. And he says, for you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. You have delivered my eyes from tears. You've delivered my feet from falling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He has been so kind to us in 2020. What do we do then? What do we do? Looking ahead now, how are we going to respond to that? What are we going to do? Look there at verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? The eternal God of heaven who lives forever and owns everything in this world, including ourselves, what are we going to do for him? When we are nothing in the eyes of the world, let alone in the eyes of God and of heaven and all of his kingdoms and angels, what are we going to do for him? There's loads of things that we could say about this, isn't there? But let me just give you two. Remember when the shops used to be more open than they are now? You could go down to your favorite of choice, like place where you can get chocolate and cakes and things like that. Yeah, all the sweets and that. And you go down and they have like a little counter there with all the food and the sweets and the chocolates in there. It all looks very tempting. And on the top of that counter, they usually have a little plate, don't they, with free samples or free tasters. And you've got to see how many you can get away with taking. So that's they got that there. You just have a taste of something. And sometimes, every now and then, you'll taste something and it will taste so good, you just have to have the whole thing. You have to get a bag full of it. You have to have the whole cake. You have to have it all. You have to get it. You have to get the whole thing because that tasted so good. I have to have the rest of it. Having tasted the Father's mercy this year, having experienced a little of his salvation, having taken that little taster from him, what we must do now is take and take and take. We must take all that he has to give. We must wring out of our Father every drop of mercy and happiness and blessing and joy that he has to give us. We've got to wring it all out of him. Take him for all he's got. Look there at verse 13 of this psalm, where the psalmist, having tasted and known that the Lord is good, having experienced his salvation, having tasted just a sip from that cup, he says, I will take the whole cup. I'm going to take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. He says, having cried out to him, having called upon him once, and he's answered me, now, verse 2, I will call upon him as long as I live. That's what we must do now. Having experienced the kindness and the generosity of God in 2020, we must turn to him now and take everything that he has to give us because he's so generous, because he is so, so kind. You know, our Father in heaven, he loves to give. He loves to open up his treasures and pour them out upon us. And so we must be willing to take everything that he has to give. You know, the mercies of 2020 that we've gone over now, they are absolutely nothing. Nothing at all compared to the mercies and the blessings and the treasures that he has to give us in 2021. Will you take them? If we call upon him, we can take everything that he has to give. And he has a lot to give and he loves to give. Earlier on in the year, we had one of the silver linings around that cloud of COVID that came over us and our nation. Eat out to help out. Do you remember that? Those were the days, yeah, where we could go out and you could stuff your face on the cheap. Now, when we had the eat out to help out scheme and they gave you money off all food that you ate out, did you tentatively go once, maybe twice, to the cheapest restaurant in town and skip dessert? Absolutely not. We took full advantage of that while it was there, didn't we? We went to the posh places. We went to the places we'd never normally go. We had starters, mains, and desserts, and any other course they could fit in there. And because it was a time of plenty and there was generosity, there was much to take advantage of. And so we did. And that's what it's like with our Father. He is generous and he loves to give. And so we must take it. We must take it from him. Now, why do you think that the Lord is so generous like that? To what end? For what purpose? Why has he been so good to us in 2020? Well, there's something of an answer for us in Acts 14. Acts 14. In Acts 14, verses 14 to 15, it says that the Lord our God, our Father in heaven is so good to us so that we would turn to him for more. Isn't that amazing? It says that he gives us all that he gives us here and now so that we would go to him for more. That's why. He gives us our life here so that we would turn to him for the eternal life that he has to give us in his Son, the Lord Jesus. It says that he spares us death now so that we would turn to him and in his Son, the Lord Jesus, receive sparing from hell. It says that when we call upon him, he will give us all that he has to give. He gives us a home here for us to turn to him and call upon him so that he will give us a home in glory in heaven. Every blessing that we have received in 2020, every blessing we receive in all of our lives is there to drive us to our Father to take more and more and more, all through the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the greatest gift that our Father could possibly give us, do you think? You know that famous verse, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son." He gives us his treasure, his desire of nations, the darling of heaven. He gives us the Lord Jesus, God in flesh. He is our peace, he's our forgiveness, he's our salvation. But why? Why does he give us his Son, the Lord Jesus? The Father is so generous that he gives us his Son so that in him he might give us everything, everything that he has to give. Having given us his Son, will he not give us all things? Ephesians 1 says that in Christ we receive every spiritual blessing. So turn to the Father, receive his Son, and in him receive everything else. You know, you have received with me so much good from our Father in 2020. Don't stop there. Don't stop. Don't be content with all of the blessings that the Father has been kind enough to give us this year. Like an only daughter to a generous dad, we must go to him and expect him and ask him and plead with him and call upon him to give us all that he has to give. We go to him in prayer, we call upon him, we say, "Give me your Son." We come to his word that satisfies us today and say, "Satisfy me every day." We gather with one another in church to sing his praises and we say, "Let me sing your praise every day and forevermore." Take from the Father his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with him take everything he has to give, the forgiveness of our sins, a home in glory, purity, righteousness, holiness. He will give it all and forevermore. So that's the first thing we have to do. The second is much quicker, I promise. That's the first thing. We must take the rest that he has to give, more and more and more. Having tasted his salvation, take everything he has to give. The second, much faster, is a bit of a conundrum, because what is it really that we could possibly give? What else is there for us to do? After we consider that we owe him everything and he owes us nothing at all, when he is so great, eternal God in heaven who owns everything, how can we possibly enrich him? All that we have is already his. Even we ourselves belong to him. How can we give him anything? All we have to give him is our thanks, our praise, our worship, our adoration. That's all we have to give him. Look there, verse 17. "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord." That's all he wants from us, is that we should call on him to receive more, that we should offer to him our thanks and our praise, because he's a good heavenly Father. You know, for him who has spared our lives in the last year, in order that we would go to him for more and more. For him who has not spared his only begotten Son, but gave him up for the atonement of our sins, forgave him up for us, so that in him we should have everything that he has to give us. Don't you think we should thank him and praise him and worship him? That's why the psalm ends so appropriately with those wonderful words, "Praise the Lord. For all of his goodness to us now in 2020, for all of his goodness that he shall surely give us in 2021, we must praise the Lord." Let me pray with you quickly before we sing our last song. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bless and thank you for the blessings that you have poured out upon us in the last year. We thank you, Father, for withholding from us so many things that would have crushed us and been too heavy a weight for us to bear. We thank you, Lord, for preserving us and our lives and our families. We thank you for preserving our church and our country. Lord, you have been so merciful. You have dealt bountifully with us. And so, Lord, we offer you our praise and our thanks, and we call upon your name. Father, give us the grace, give us the faith, give us the tenacity to call upon you all the days of our lives and to take from you more and more and more as you are willing to give out of your bottomless generosity. Thank you, Father, for being such a wonderful, good, reliable Father to us, always eager and willing to give out of your abundant riches. And so, Lord, we ask you, having saved us in the last year, save us again. Forgive us all of our sins. Wash us clean in your Son. Give him to us, that in him we should have everything that our hearts should possibly desire. Lord, fix in us a love for your Son, that as we own him from your hand, the gift that you have to give to us, we should have everything in his name. Fill us with joy and thanks, we pray, for your own name's sake. Amen.